Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Everybody, and happy Saturday to all of you. This is your Weekly Dose podcast, but guess what? None of us are here. That's right. Today is a past moment show, and basically we decided to take the weekend off and be with our families. Of course, we do hope that all of you did have a wonderful Thanksgiving, which I'm sure you did. I know all of us did here on your Weekly Dose. And I'm sure you'll hear all about it next week when we come back, though. So today we got a bunch of Thanksgiving past moments for you guys. We hope that you enjoy going all the way back to 2017. But first of all, let's get down to business. Basically, don't forget you can interact with the show by commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Of course, you can find us on Facebook by searching for Your Weekly Dose, or email us if you like at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. Don't forget you can only you can download us on the show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and of course Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show. That is so important right now. Of course, right now, today's theme is Mississippi Queen by Mountain. We decided to kind of pick this one because today is National Mississippi Day, so we hope you're enjoying it. And don't forget, just as always, you can get any of the music that we play on our show at Amazon. That's right, just go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, and don't forget to bookmark it. And then after that, shout to your heart's delight. So good. Love this song. Well, anyway, we want to get down to business, so enjoy our past moment show. At the very end, you also get to hear a special interview with Tyler Hilton. It's totally different. But Thanksgiving, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to barbecue something in Huntington Beach. I'm watching Debbie and Neil's house.
You're not coming to the house then?
Well, that's later.
Okay. All right.
Thursday evening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're worrying me there now.
No.
Free meal, dude. Come on.
I know.
Okay.
I'm coming there, but yeah. I'll be going there probably on Tuesday because they leave Wednesday morning.
Okay. So party on Friday at their house then.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. And the address for the house is?
It's 9618725-4A.
Is that a phone number or an address?
Any street.
And they
USA.
Have a pool.
Yeah.
And a jacuzzi. And a jacuzzi.
Just a jacuzzi.
I thought they had a pool.
No. As my other friend Mike, he has a pool and jacuzzi.
Oh, I thought they had a pool
stay
for
there
some
occasionally.
Reason. Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought Deb and Neil had a pool.
I tried to talk him into it when they were remodeling, but they decided they didn't want a pool.
Because I've always heard that Lisa's talked about going over to them to go swimming.
Well, they do because, you know, during the day, I mean, it's jacuzzi's like 10 feet square.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty good size. And then the girls would go in swimming like they were in a pool.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Just wouldn't heat it. It would just be heated by however.
The sun.
Yeah.
The warmth of the sun. Got it. Cool.
So, yeah.
All right. And what do you do for Thanksgiving, Phoebe?
I have dinner with, I think Thanksgiving night, I'm having dinner with my boyfriend's family, like his extended family.
Oh, cool.
And then Friday, I think I'm having dinner with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a couple friends invited me to, like, Friendsgiving and stuff, too. So I think we're going to try to stop.
Did you say Friendsgiving?
After. Yeah. Have you not heard of this?
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
This is the thing.
Oh, cool. Okay. I don't know.
Come on with the times.
Oh, should we go back at certain groups and TV shows? And
today's the
who
present.
Are the monkeys? Who are they about?
That's the past. Today is the present. Come on. Be in the present now. No. But, yeah. So Friendsgiving is a thing. I think it was started with, like, like, I think it was on, was it Will and Grace or Friends?
Or like, yes, one of those was. Shows that you go to the taping to?
Yeah. I guess it was just going to be
well, that's
family
cool.
dinners.
Now, since your family is from Korea originally and everything.
Yes. Well, my parents are. The rest
you
of us were
You were here.
Here.
You're
yeah.
right.
Different tradition?
Yeah, different traditions nope. for it, or is it all the same, or no. they just kind of went, hey, we're Americans now, so let's just do this.
Well, we don't, so Thanksgiving is another date in the calendar for Koreans. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that date is, but it's like a different thing that they celebrate, but.
So they have something similar then, just like Canada does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they have their own Thanksgiving.
Interesting.
But I don't really remember Thanksgiving. I feel like, okay, so our family, we have dinners with our cousins and relatives. Mm-hmm. And so my aunt, who on my dad's side, she has two daughters. They're so smart and so beautiful. Like, they're like the model Korean kids. And they're both in John Hopkins, or they're both in Baltimore, and one mm-hmm. of them is studying to be a neurosurgeon, and that, like, they're just like brilliant okay. smart people. But the younger daughter, she's an amazing cook. Mm-hmm. And their whole family, like, or their dad, my uncle, cooks a lot too. So Thanksgiving was always at their house, mm-hmm. where they would just put on a full feast. And so in terms of like Korean tradition or whatever, like, we didn't really have that. We would just go and eat, like, we would have an American feast.
Okay, so, yeah. so you would have more of a traditional American meal.
Right, and then we would just put in, like, kimchi in there or something. Like,
here, have an egg roll.
Well, Koreans don't...
Because there were
we
two.
That's more like Vietnamese or, like, Chinese. But for, like, I mean, we do... I don't really know if Koreans...
Have egg rolls?
No, we eat egg rolls, but we don't have, like, a dish that's, like, an egg roll for Koreans. You know what I mean? I don't yeah. know. It's very, like, a Chinese-Vietnamese thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, we put kimchi in there. Sometimes we have different types of, like, soup... That's uh-huh. more like Korean veggies for our, my grandma and stuff.
Cool, very cool. What about any particular traditions for you?
Well, there's a few things about Thanksgiving I remember. Mm-hmm. One was a lot of food.
Oh, God, yeah.
We had a dog. It was like a medium-sized dog named Blackie. Mm-hmm. He was black.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Go figure.
So yeah. surprising.
And, so racist.
Yeah, so I remember one year, everybody's in the kitchen.
Cooking.
Doing stuff. And my mom turns around and suddenly just screams. Uh-huh. And Blackie has something in his mouth.
Oh, no.
And he's kind of sneaking through people toward the back porch trying to get out of there. She grabbed him. She thought it was a sweet potato. Oh. He had gotten up on the table and grabbed the turkey tail.
Oh, no.
It's the piece of the turkey that my mom referred to as the Pope's nose.
Oh.
And it just so happened that was her favorite piece of the bird,
gosh.
Bar none. And she was, like, devastated.
Oh, no.
Smacked that dog. But he got it.
He knows how to pick his meal.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. And then I remember another year we're in the kitchen. Everybody's cooking. And my sister has this... plastic-handled metal kitchen knife that has a point on it. Mm-hmm. We had a block of ice because back then, one of my dad's best friend actually owned the ice house in Highland Park, and I would ride along on the trailer that would deliver ice to homes that had ice boxes, and we didn't have refrigerators very much then because they were really new. So anyway,
so old. I'm just kidding.
I know.
Wow.
So she's using this knife to break up this block of ice, and she's going up and down really fast. On one of the downs, the knife stuck in the ice. The handle came off.
Oh, shoot.
And the piece that was sticking in the plastic
I can't hear this anymore.
Was pointed. And she came down again. That thing went like all the way through her hand.
Okay,
ouch.
Suddenly dropped and screamed, and blood went spurting everywhere. It was a beautiful Thanksgiving moment. I really.
Oh my gosh! Okay,
I've always remembered that.
Any blood stories?
It was beautiful. So
no.
Yeah, we had to take her to the.
Oh
the,
God.
Yeah.
Hospital. Yeah.
For me, we've had, thank God we never had any experiences like that. For me, though, it was not necessarily traditions per se, but my mom's always, my parents, both of them, it's just my dad's been gone. But my parents have always had an open door policy, you know, mm-hmm. So it's whoever wants to come is welcome to come, you know, it didn't matter.
As far as I'm concerned, personally, that's how it should be on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, like, I actually, I talked to V yesterday, actually, to see, because I didn't know if her and Michael were doing anything, if they're going to hang out with friends, or she was going to go back up to her mom and her mom's house, you know, in Northern California,
right,
or anything. So I called her, and you know, I said, "Hey, wasn't sure. Want to make sure you got a place to go, you know." And so she called back and said, "You know, no, Michael and I are going to my mom's." And I said, "Okay, good." She goes, "You know," and she was very appreciative of it too. You know,
that's nice.
But yeah, I mean, it's just you know, we have this open door policy, and there's been, you know, dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, where it's been, you know, 7 or 8 of us, you know, and there's been other times where there's been 15 of us.
Wow.
You know, and we extend it, and, you know, you have to sit at the card table for the kids, you know, and everything.
The kid table.
Yeah, the kid table. Yeah.
I'm forever in the kid table.
Still in the kid table, huh?
Yeah.
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 You know, someday somebody's going to, like, disappear, and you're going to move up. You'll have to move up to the big adult table.
Last
you can't
year,
throw peas at each other at the adult table.
Well, you can.
Well, I found out that. Yeah.
Actually, I think last year my boyfriend came. It was the first time we were just dating, like, less than a year at that point, and he came to the dinner, and so they seated us at the adult table.
Like,
and
ooh.
We're like, what?
Ooh. Are you sure? Do we have a pass?
Oh my God. It's just like, I guess it's like the boyfriend card.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, for us, I mean, it's just, I think, having good times, and every year it's different for us, you know, on who's there. You know, we've got a couple other friends of ours that sometimes they come into town and, you know, they have dinner with us. You know, Steve came last year, which was awesome, you know, and, you know, it was great. You know, we have definitely a good time with it all.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well,
I'll bring more wine this time.
Oh, yes.
Wine's always good.
Wine is always good. Well, what I wanted to do, too, was give you guys some facts here. For Thanksgiving.
Is this our fax music?
This is our fax music. This is our everything music. So, so apparently, a busy day, Thanksgiving is a busy day for plumbers.
Yeah, I would imagine more toward the afternoon.
No, yeah, like
after everybody's
night.
Finished their coffee after
That's
the dinner.
Pretty much what it is. Yeah.
Do people eat Thanksgiving meals and lunch or dinner?
Wait, say that again.
Do people eat Thanksgiving? Do they eat it for lunch or dinner?
It's dinner.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people actually have dinner early, like 1 or 2 o'clock.
Oh,
well, we start about like 5 or 6.
Five, six, or whatever.
Yeah. And then we,
yeah. So, yeah. A lot of different things. Depends on when everybody can be there and when the turkey gets done.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, there's experiences, according to Roto-Rooter, basically 21% increase in calls over the 4-day weekend than any other Thursday to Sunday prior period of the year. So, Big Bird is a turkey.
Oh,
really? Yeah. So a Big Bird suit on Sesame Street consists of turkey feathers that have been dyed yellow. The American Plume and Fancy Feather Company is responsible for making this suit, and Big Bird is the toughest customer overall. So, yeah. So Big Bird is a turkey.
How funny.
Yeah. That's some good eating right there, I'll tell you.
Oh, no. I don't want to eat Big Bird. That's so sad.
The first Thanksgiving Day parade looked a little different. Every year, of course, millions watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And let's see, it started, I'm sorry, then known as the Macy's Christmas Parade in 1924 to celebrate the expansion of the new status as the world's largest store. People today would be familiar with the most parade's contents. There were floats featuring nursery rhyme characters and Santa Claus and a sleigh. And what might be out of place today were animals, including bears, elephants, camels, monkeys, loaned from the Central Zoo. And, of course, they also had the giant balloons, which they're popular for.
My favorite was Garfield.
Do you know who the first one was?
Snoopy?
Nope. And only Steve would know this.
Very first Macy's Day balloon?
Balloon, the very first one.
Santa Claus.
Felix the Cat.
Oh, Felix!
Wait, you know Felix the Cat?
The wonderful, wonderful cat.
How do you know Felix the Cat? You were born in 1990.
He's everywhere.
Felix the Cat.
Okay, maybe not so much anymore, but back when I was growing up, he was everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Felix the Cat. I remember that show.
Jeez.
I've never seen the show, but I know the character.
Okay. All right. Let's see. The state is all about turkey. Minnesota produces more turkeys than any other state in the U.S., raising close
to... Yeah, but what about the animal?
Oh, no, don't you talking about us like that now.
Yeah. I got a ticket in Minnesota once.
Oh, yeah, it's so nice. Well, raising clones to 40 million there in 2015, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Minnesota.
Oh, that's what that was.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota there. Oh, yeah, don't you know.
That was more like a Charlie Chan visits Minnesota.
Oh, no, that would be a little bit more like this.
Oh,
no, this is Minnesota. That's funny. It's Charlie Chan in Minnesota.
That's fucking funny.
Apparently male turkeys, also called toms, are the only ones that can gobble. The females or hens make more of a clucking or clicking sounds.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there you go. Did you guys ever watch The West Wing?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever watch the episode the turkey where he calls the Butterball Hotline?
Yes.
So here's a scene where the president Bartlett discovers the Butterball Hotline, and calling in to figure out how to make a turkey, basically. So let's go ahead and play that.
If they want the nickel and dime stuff, I'll tell you one thing we can do.
What's that, sir?
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
Well, that's Gus from Psych.
The Butterball Hotline.
Yeah.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah. It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball Hotline.
Yes, sir.
With what?
Hello, welcome to the Butterball Hotline.
What the hell is this? Hello?
Oh, this How can so I help good. You, sir?
Well, first let me say, I think this is a wonderful service you provide.
Well, thank you. May I have your name, please?
I'm a citizen.
I'm sure you are, sir, but if I have your name, I can put your comments in our customer feedback form.
I'm Joe Bethersonton. That's one T and with an H in there.
And your address?
Fargo.
Bless you. Your street address, thank you. Please?
Zip code, Fargo, North Dakota, right now.
My street address is 11454 Pruder Street. And it's very important that you put street down there because sometimes it gets confused with Pruder Way and Pruder Lane.
I just love how he's trying to
spell it. Department 23R, Fargo, North Dakota. Zip code 50504.
Thank you. Your voice sounds very familiar to me.
I do radio commercials for products.
And how can I help you?
Stuffing should be stuffed inside the turkey. Am I correct?
It can also be baked in a casserole dish.
Well, then we'd have to call it something else, wouldn't we?
I suppose.
If I cook it inside the turkey, is there a chance I could kill my guests? I'm not saying that's necessarily a deal breaker.
Well, there are some concerns. Two main bacterial problems are Salmonella and Campylobacter jejuna.
All right. Well, first of all, I think you made the second bacteria up. And second of all, how do I avoid it?
Make sure all the ingredients are cooked first. saute any vegetables, fry sausage, oysters, etc.
Excellent. Let's talk temperature.
165 degrees.
No, see, I was testing you. The USDA calls for turkeys to be cooked to an internal temperature of 180 to 185 degrees.
Yes, sir. I was talking about the stuffing, which you want to cook to 165 to avoid the health risks.
Okay. Good testing.
You have an accurate thermometer?
Oh, yeah. It was presented to me as a gift from the personal sous chef to the king of auto sales in Fargo. Phil Beharnd. The man can sell a car like anything.
Very good, sir. You have a good Thanksgiving.
And you do, too. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
That reminded me of, I don't know if you've seen it's like a meme that's going around. People asking their parents how long to cook a 25-pound turkey
in the microwave.
And I just thought of it. I texted my dad, and he's called me twice already. He said, in the microwave? And I said, yes, in the microwave. He hasn't texted back. He's just calling.
That's funny.
It's so funny.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's if you haven't seen The West Wing, it is so good. I mean, the writing Aaron Sorkin has done is just phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenal. So
it's not your normal political drama, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of Thanksgiving, we want to try something here. So what's the first number that we've got, Zach?
Let me grab my paper, sir.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we figure what we try to do is a Mark and Brian thing here, is try to call people who have an unusual last name that deals with Thanksgiving, basically. You know, like the last name of Turkey, or Ham, or Yam, or Pilgrim.
Or Thanksgiving.
Well, that would be a really unique thing here. So basically, Genesis
Georges
went out and... was able to... Georgia, what? Jeez-o. Was able to get some phone numbers for us. So who are we calling first, Zach?
We have Alice Faye Gobble.
Okay. All right, so we're calling Alice Gobble.
Where's she from? I think it says it right there.
Oh, from Lebanon, Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, so we're calling Virginia. You behave.
Okay. Oh.
That's foreshadowing. Your call cannot be completed at this time.
Oh.
It's okay. There's a couple
numbers. It's okay. Just try it again.
So that was really hard to look numbers up because people don't have landlines anymore.
That's right. It's okay.
Let's try it again.
All right. And this is Alice Gobble?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to Verizon's voice messaging service.
What's wrong with people?
Let's see.
Okay.
We got one more.
Okay, who are we calling now?
Let's try Barry Gobble.
Barry Gobble. Okay.
Barry Gobble.
They're cousins.
They're cousins, yeah. And where are we calling at, Zach?
That is West Point, Tennessee.
West Point, Tennessee. Barry Gobble. Okay.
To an automatic voice message system. 931.
All right, well, let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
How about Anita Gobble?
Anita Gobble. All right.
From Waterloo, Rhode Island. Oh, I'm sorry. Waterloo Road, West Point, Tennessee.
I like that one. I need a gobble.
I need a gobble.
It's hard to dial these numbers and laughing.
I just like it right now. Brittany's like trying to like fix her hair and stuff. And I'll take a break. And I'm just thinking right now, it's like, you know, if you need any water, just ask Steve.
These headphones are falling.
Okay, who are we calling?
Still Anita Gobble.
Anita Gobble, okay.
Dang,
Wait.
Hello?
Yes, Anita Gobble, please. Hi, Anita? And we hung up. Okay. All right. That's okay.
She probably thought you were a telemarketer or something.
I would think Sean's a telemarketer if I heard him.
Yeah. Hey.
All right. How about...
Have I got a deal for you? It's a deal.
Okay. How about Della Ann Ham?
Okay.
You know, we should probably be very polite to these people and not let them know we're making fun of
them.
Hello.
Don't
bite my head off. I was just talking out
just
loud.
Tell the number.
Maybe don't say her name first, because maybe you sound like a telemarketer. Say hello, and then she'll say hello.
Okay, well, this person is Della.
Okay.
From South Carolina.
Okay, South Carolina.
She probably talk funny.
I wonder if she lives near Mark.
So say
y'all. Mark's in North Carolina, though. He's in Charlotte, North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
The other Carolina.
We could leave a message. Maybe they'll call back.
I'm pretty sure a lot of these are going to call back.
That would be funny.
Do-do-do-do. Aren't people home? Good God. Okay, let's get on to the next one.
Just let it ring.
Everybody's busy on Saturday.
All right. From...
What are we calling now?
South Dakota, Keith R. Ham. All right.
What's the strangest name you guys ever came across?
Mine.
All at the same time.
You know, that's true. I worked at a company here in Anaheim over on Kramer, and we had a...
Who are we calling?
Keith Ham.
Keith Ham, okay.
We had two sales reps. Yep.
Hello?
Hi, Mr. Ham?
What?
Hi, is this Mr. Ham?
Yeah?
Mr. Ham, my name is Sean Roberts. Your voice is on the air right now for a podcast called Your Weekly Dose out here in Los Angeles. We just wanted to call and say hello to you and wish you a happy Thanksgiving for you.
Oh. Yes!
We hung up! All right.
Well, that was very nice.
Okay. Cool.
What's up with people?
Where was he from? He sounded like he had an accent.
He's probably like
Tennessee.
Where was he? Where was he
from? South Carolina.
South Carolina.
South Carolina. All right.
Ain't got no time for you.
This one's a little combination of kind of like Christmas and Thanksgiving. Betty Lou Turkey. Betty Lou.
Oh yeah.
The Grinch.
Betty Lou.
Who's no more than two.
Anyway, so most unusual name you said, Steve?
In the company, we had an international division. And in the international division, there was a guy from China, a salesman, whose name was Ching Chang.
You have reached the voicemail box of...
Yeah. No one called that number. Okay.
Well, it's on Google. They could get it if they really wanted it.
Yeah. Wow. That's how Genesis got it.
I got it.
Okay. Next one. Phoenix, Arizona. Jesus Yam. Or Jesus Yam?
Jesus Yam? So white.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, these two guys. One of them was Ching Chang.
Oh, my God.
Swear to God. And Ronald McDonald.
Wow.
So whenever one of them were in the building and they'd get a call and there'd be a Ronald McDonald, you have a telephone call.
Damn it.
The number you dialed.
Jesus is offline right now, so he can't take the wheel.
This is a fun one. Clement Gary Yam from Folsom, California.
Oh, Folsom.
They might answer.
Hey, yeah. Could be in prison.
He's from California?
Yeah.
That or he's in prison, one of the two.
Let's find out.
All right. What's his last name? Yam?
Yam.
Yam, okay.
Clement Yam.
Your call has been forwarded.
Oh, my God. People answer.
Are they not charging their phones or just sending us to voicemail? I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Let's try Jessica Yam.
Okay. The weirdest name I ever heard of, my cousin, and this back in the 70s, worked at a Jack in the Box.
Uh-huh.
And... You know, we already got the music, Steve.
And now I'm muting Steve's mic.
Come on. We are not available now.
Oh!
I just want to say if a random number called me, I wouldn't pick up.
I never do.
Yeah, that's tough.
Do you, Brittany?
No,
yeah,
I never do.
I don't either.
Not even if it's the same area code as me.
Brittany didn't
even... turn it back on till you behave.
Brittany didn't even pick up her dad's phone call.
I am not going to answer any of you.
Let's try Dexter Gobble from Minnesota, Florida.
I like that.
Right, last
Dexter
one.
Gobble.
Last one.
Minaloa, Florida, sorry. Look like Minnesota.
Minnesota, Florida. Got
yeah.
it.
Minnesota, Florida.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service.
It's like the
phone
tail, too.
Hey, pay your bill, Dexter! Oh, good God. Well, you know, we gave it the old college try, you know.
Yeah,
we had a couple people hang up on us, though, which is pretty good.
Well, yeah, we at least got to directly talk
great radio.
One guy and wish him a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So,
Mr. Ham, who hung up on us. So.
He wasn't very thankful.
Yeah, no, he wasn't, asshole. Anyway, well, let's go around the room real quick and find out what some of our own Thanksgiving traditions are. And, you know, what our, each of our families have kind of done that's, you know, unusual or, you know, but normal for us kind of a thing. So let's start with Genesis. Go.
Oh, traditions.
What, yeah. What are some, like some traditions that your family does at home?
My parents make it a point to make a turkey, like being Hispanic. Mm-hmm. A lot of other like, okay, I guess I shouldn't speak for everybody in general, but they mostly like tend to make other foods, you
tamales.
Know, like yeah, tamales, or they make pozole or other things, you uh-huh. know.
But more traditional Mexican dishes.
Yeah, for like Thanksgiving. But my family has always been like, no, like for Thanksgiving we're gonna make turkey, and then we'll leave the rest for like the other holidays or something like that. So it's always like a point that we're gonna eat turkey. My mom makes it like a certain way, so I guess that's the tradition, to stick to eating turkey. Like we, yeah, somehow. And like when I was younger, we actually didn't ever cook Thanksgiving. Was it called dinner? Because we would be out of town and we would get back home like on Thanksgiving night. So tradition growing up when I was like younger, we would always stop by at Norm's and buy like their like Thanksgiving like festive dinner that came with like everything, the pie, the turkey, and we would just come home and like eat that. So we would have Norm's Thanksgiving like dinner like for Thanksgiving for so many years, because like, we would always go out of town and we wouldn't cook. We would just stop by Norm's on the way home,
like,
and
like visiting relatives or something like that.
No, we would go to Vegas random, but
that's
like,
a great place to go for Thanksgiving.
My dad worked like he didn't ever have like days off, and like his job only gave him Thanksgiving off, so like that week, and he was off like Wednesday. So like when we were little, that's like that was like our little vacation. Like we would like do that, so we would come back home on Thursday night and stop by Norm's, like pick up the Thanksgiving dinner for four people, come home and eat that. So
any holiday is a good reason to go to Vegas.
Yeah. I'm wondering if anybody ever stuffed a turkey with a bunch of tamales.
Ooh,
that'd be interesting.
Good. Yeah.
That'd
be interesting. Just sounds good.
Fill
right
it
now.
Up.
How about you, Zach? Any traditions for you that you know?
Well, besides everyone sitting around the TV watching football while I'm pretty much just in the other room doing my own thing, you know, we just, you know, turkey stuffing. And it's I used to always joke with my family, like, we really have turkey dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, kind of like
early,
way too early. And the food options are kind of skimpy because we just have like egg noodles and put gravy on that. No mashed potatoes, maybe a bean casserole. And turkey and stuffing. That's really
egg
it.
Egg noodles with gravy?
Yeah.
I know.
I've never heard of that. Where did that come from?
I don't know. That's been a thing since before
good,
I was
though.
Born. Yeah, just like those, you know, just like egg noodles, nothing fancy. And then you put the gravy on. And it's just, that's always been my that's thing so or our good. Thing.
Wow.
And we do candy. I guess we change it up and do candy yams or maybe like a fruit salad. With like marshmallows
I
and
can,
stuff.
Oh, I can never eat that. It's too sweet for me.
Really?
Yeah, I never.
I love
that. Oh, yeah, the yam marshmallow.
Oh, I you know, and yeah, I just realized.
Like the fruit salad with marshmallows in it.
That too, yeah.
I just realized why we did that. Now, there was a time when my grandma's like, well, we need to start eating healthy, so no pie for dessert. We're like, what? Wait, what?
You gotta have pie.
It's like, well, I'm gonna make a nice fruit salad with marshmallows.
How about you, Brittany?
I think we just do usually. I go to like a different family I have a big family because I have like four parents, I guess.
Okay.
That sounds weird.
Gotta wait. What?
My parents are. My parents are separated,
and
then they're both remarried. So.
You got two families, basically.
And then so I have like my step parents' families too, and then my own parents' families. We just do usually like regular Thanksgiving, but. Every year, I always make, I learned it from when I was little from my grandparents, this thing called monkey bread.
Oh, wow. Karen makes it.
A lot of people know. I do it, like, because I've seen recipes online, so I do it a little different. Like, I do it differently than the recipes I've seen online.
Put alcohol in it?
No.
Why not?
I should, huh?
Yeah.
They put some rum or something.
Yeah, exactly.
but, yeah, I'm always the one that, like, ever since I'm like, you know, old enough, I've always been the one to just make it and bring it to like all of the holidays, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So that's like a fun tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the thing that I like have kept in the family. So
Steve.
He's pulling at me.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Well, I don't know. A lot of food. That's usually what.
Wow, Steve.
That's what I remember from Thanksgiving. A lot of food. I remember a couple of weird stories at Thanksgiving.
For my family, it's either small or big kind of a thing. Either it's very intimate, so we have a few friends over. And normally it's just the immediate family and then one or two friends and that's it. Or my mom goes big and we've got, 12, 15 people, kind of coming over. But I think ours is more of a like everybody else. We have the turkey. We've got the ham. I think those are the necessities.
Yeah.
And then the side dishes, it's always.
Wait, turkey and ham?
Oh, yeah.
You guys do both?
I do both. Too.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
God, my family sucks.
Well, you have those ramen noodle things or whatever. That's why.
Yeah.
With gravy sauce.
Like a refugee.
Yeah, no shit, man. But so we'll do the turkey and the ham, and then the side dishes will vary, depending on what's going on. Like my mom made last year, and you were there. Mm-hmm. My mom made Brussels sprouts. Mm. I hate Brussels sprouts.
Mm. Not a fan either.
I hate it with a passion. But my mom did something different last year where she
put bacon in it.
No, should have though.
That's probably the only way you're going to eat it.
But no, I think she baked them a certain way or whatever, and I don't know what else she put on it. I liked them for the very first time.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they actually had a nice taste to it. It didn't taste bitter or anything like that. So sometimes she'll do that. We'll do like string beans.
She sauteed them.
I don't remember.
Browned them.
She browned them.
Yeah, you saute them in like butter and garlic and stuff like that, and then you bake them to cook them.
Oh, but it was actually really good.
Oh yeah.
So, but I think the only tradition really was always trying to figure out whether or not we need the extra table, the card table where all the kids sat, and everything, and that was about it. But our Thanksgiving, it's either real big or real small. There's like no in between. We got 12 to 15 people coming over, or we've got, it's just the five or six of us, and that's about it. We always get pie because we like pie. Unlike the Tegan family.
Tegan.
But no, we have the bar pies. We'll have like probably like two or three pies.
Yes.
Like we'll have a pumpkin, maybe a cherry or so. And then when my grandfather was alive, we always had to get a lemon meringue for him.
Oh, yeah.
So those are always good. So we get a decent spread, which is kind of nice. So we
When I'm there, it's always, what kind of pie you want? And I'm like, a little bit of all of it.
Yeah. Oh, he'll take three pieces
of both of them. All of them, however many there are.
Yeah, cake, whatever. He'll take it all.
I'll take 20.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we got a good connection right now that we want to do. It seems like people after some really gargantuan efforts here in bringing a lot of midnight oil, and producer Zach, we got to give credit for him right now. He managed to get us this interview, and it's a really good interview of a lifetime. So on with us right now with the phone, basically someone who's very much in the spotlight at this time of year. He's lived his life with the goal of satisfying many hungry people. But we've actually got one of the turkeys who will be pardoned by the president in just a few days. So can please welcome, say hello to Bob.
Hello? Hello? Is that you, Sean? Sean!
Wow, it kind of sounds like you're in the room with us right now.
My goodness, this is such an honor, Sean. I'm really pleased to be here to talk to you. And woohoo! Wobble till you wobble.
Well, it's great to have you on the show, Bob. Seems like a lot of commotion there in the background, Bob.
Oh my God, Sean! It's Bedlam. Our farmer.
Sounds like they're on your command, Bedlam.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the farmer's so happy that his farm got chosen to have one of us pardoned that he just threw a party, and 15 minutes ago, he released 10,000 crickets into the pen. Oh, my God. The place went nuts. Everybody's acting like chickens with their heads cut off. That's a little turkey humor for you there, Sean. I swear it's a regular cluster pluck. Oh, oh, hey, Sean. How many turkeys does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know, Bob. How many does it take it?
What's a light bulb? It's so much fun here. I love it.
Well, let me ask you this right now. How are you feeling about your good fortune there, Bob?
Sean, I have to tell you, I feel like the bottom of a stove. Great. My goblet overfloweth. I know that now this is my gravy train to freedom. I just hope it's not fake news.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Bob?
Oh, well, you know, Sean, I was born right here in Alexandria, Virginia on July 4th.
July 4th.
So, yeah. Oh, it's so cool. But, you know, Alexandria, a little farm just outside of Alexandria, Virginia, and that's 8 miles south of the White House. In case that goofball president doesn't know where it is. I come from a long line of large-breasted male. Feast your eyes on these babies. Eat your heart out. I sure wish I had a mirror. You know, something else about me. I tried to be a fighter once.
You did?
Yeah, but I kept getting the stuffing knocked out of me. Oh, I got a million of them.
What favorite movies and music or other interests do you have, Bob?
The movies I really like are The Right Stuffing, Life of Pumpkin Pie. then there was a musical I really liked called The Wing and I. Of course, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Wishbone. that Chevy Chase movie. Hmm? Foul Play.
Oh, yeah, that's a good...
Oh, and my favorite movie of all time is To Kill a Mockingbird. Well, it's ironic. Oh, you know what? There's a lot of music I like, too. That one really fun song called Carve Me Maybe. This might be gravy. So here's my stuffing. Carve Me Maybe. And I like a great Disney song called When You Wishbone Upon a Star.
Oh, yeah.
The one that really gets this place going is It's All About That Beast. That beast. That beast. It's all about that beast. That beast. That beast.
Sean,
right now. what's the difference between chickens and turkeys?
I give up. Well, what is the difference?
Chickens actually get to celebrate Thanksgiving.
So you're going to be pardoned next week. What do you expect the presidential party ceremony is going to be like there, Steve?
Everybody says that I should get dressed for the occasion. Sean, I've been told that it's an extreme honor to meet the president, but what I've seen, we have a lot in common.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, he has a bunch of turkeys in his cabinet just waiting to get roasted. I think he's a bigger turkey than I'll ever be. I'm kind of worried about getting too close to him, though, Sean.
Well, why is that, Bob?
I don't like the smell of pee. Yeah. Wow. Well, now, you know, there's this old wives' tale about turkeys drowning in the rain. Uh-huh. It may have happened before, but I'll tell you, at least none of us are stupid enough to look directly into the sun.
So are there any things that you want to do after you get pardoned?
I've always wondered what sweet potatoes tasted like.
Sounds like your turkeys in the background that are dying.
Oh, that's because they really don't understand what's going on.
I don't think any of our listeners do either.
You know, I do hope up.
You hope up, yeah.
I wrote this thing and I still can't read it. I do hope I end up at a place called Gobbler's Rest. That's where last year's pardoned turkeys, drumstick and wishbone ended up. That's right. I can't wait to sit my Pope's nose in a lawn chair and veg out. Pope's nose.
Well, it's definitely been very enlightening talking to you there, Bob. So,
me too.
Before we say goodbye, is there anything else that you'd like to say or like tell a better joke? Or
well, gobble. If you don't mind me waxing a little melancholy here.
Waxing?
I have something to say.
Waxing, okay.
It rhymes with quacks.
Okay.
To all my friends and family and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and
gobble.
I think that's as far as it goes.
Gobble.
Who have lived their entire lives just to end up on a plate with a bunch of bread shoved up their ass.
Gobble.
To the millions that I have befriended and loved.
Gobble.
And now leave behind.
Gobble.
I just want to say goodbye, suckers. Gobble to you, wobble.
And there you go, guys. That's Bob the Tom Turkey there with his bunch in the background gobbling away. And I think we're gonna take a knee after that one. Wow.
You know, Bob sounded a lot like Mickey Mouse.
There was that one that kept interrupting, though. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, now, who's that jerk?
I think it was Fred.
I love it when we have guests on the show.
This is a side note from I just saw it.
Yeah.
Karen told me to ask you about the decorations for your Thanksgiving traditions.
Our decorations aren't really that much. It's a very small box. But we have the cornucopias, you know, that we put out and everything.
Okay.
So candles and so forth and everything. But the cool thing, though, I think I know where she's kind of going towards, is every year my son does a different nameplate kind of a thing.
Oh, okay.
So like something's like a napkin ring, or he'll make it look like a turkey or a leaf or something, whatever, and then put whoever's coming over, you know, their name on it.
Put it on it. Oh, that's
yeah,
cute.
Which is kind of cool. It's a little bit different. It's something he's been doing since he was a small young boy.
Oh, that's cool. That's
so I think, you know, he's 14 now. Going to whatever. You know, sit out wherever you want. You know, I don't care.
I'm playing my video games.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on my phone. You know, but. Yeah, but that's kind of, I think.
Okay.
I got to fix my paper. Hold on. Crumbled the wrong one.
Well, of course, we just had Black Friday, and we got Cyber Monday coming up real quick, too, as well. And, of course, we just finished the Thanksgiving holiday itself. So I thought I'd kind of give you guys some tweets here regarding Black Friday and Thanksgiving. All right, so let's do the Thanksgiving tweets first.
Okay.
I like the first one. First one here says, this guy tweeted out, me opening a bag for Thanksgiving dinner, says, okay, who had the Big Mac?
That's the easy way.
That's the easy way.
It's definitely the easy way.
All right. The next one we should do together.
Okay. You want to be the wife?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, we need to clean the house.
Why?
We're having company on Thursday.
That's 5 days away.
So?
Are we expecting the kids to keep the house clean for 5 days?
We'll clean the house Thursday morning, yeah.
There you go.
So true on that one, man. Let's see. Found what I'm taking for the family for Thanksgiving, and the person showed a picture of a Pop-Tart with a frosted pumpkin pie.
Yeah, there you go.
Easy.
Again,
easy peasy.
Easy.
You know, toaster oven keeps it nice and warm.
It does. My favorite Thanksgiving was the one where my great uncle Harold sat at the head of the table and went off on my aunt about his balls dipping into the dipping into the toilet water when he sat down to have a crap.
Wow. Well, 'tis the season for spiked hot chocolate, sappy movie marathons, and 473 cars that want your parking spot at the mall.
Right, and you can't get out of it fast enough.
Yeah.
I had my first threesome for Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
But it was just me and two different pieces of pie.
Oh, okay.
That was me on Thursday at your mom's house.
Yeah. You were so quiet on Thursday.
I was eating. I even told your mom later. I mean, it's like the third year I've come over to your house and stuff, and each year it seems like, well, you know, everybody cooks something their way and stuff, and so
some of the stuff been like, oh, this is good. And some has been like, oh, no, that's not quite how I would. But, you right. know, and you just kind of pick and choose what you eat and mm-hmm. stuff. This year, for some reason, everything was really good.
Yeah.
The stuffing and that cranberry relish thing.
Oh, yeah, the one my in-laws brought over.
Yeah, and there was like some really creamed corn. It was like corn soup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was pretty good. But the asparagus.
Was really nice.
Yeah, I think we had, hollandaise sauce on it. Yeah. Oh, my God. I couldn't eat enough of that. And then I paid the price later when I went for a pee.
All right, where do we leave off on the tweets here? Oh, Friendsgiving, but instead of cooking and Thanksgiving meal, you order a bunch of Chinese takeout, and also your friends aren't there. Or it's just alone and hungover watching old reruns on Shark Tank.
Oh, how funny. Yes.
Now reruns find on my Shark place. Tank.
Yeah. For those of you who are alone on Thanksgiving, for $50, I'll call you and ask you why you're not married yet and when you're getting a raise. Just, yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. Is it really cross-dressing if I wear my wife's maternity jeans to Thanksgiving dinner?
Depends on how big they are.
I don't know. I'm just saying, you're thinking outside the box on that one.
Whether or not they have a zipper.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I'm sure it's all stretchy.
Either way.
Stretchy pants. Either way.
There's at least a button on there, right?
Thanksgiving game. Nobody gets pie until you go around the table and everyone has to say, climate change is real.
I like that one.
Boy, will that start some arguments. Yeah.
And for a Black Friday tweet, here we go. Only got in one fight with one person on Black Friday. It was a 4-year-old, and it was over a Sephora bag.
How bizarre. What's a 4-year-old doing? Anyway, do people who get up at 4 a.m. to shop on Black Friday know about Amazon?
Well, they should. And if they do, go to our website, click on our banner.
That's right.
Everyone entered the St. James Best Buy in Winnipeg in such Canadian way. They walked into a store.
Okay, I don't believe it. I think that's fake news. Who would do that? I watched a woman collapse in hysterics into my manager's arms because we didn't have the exact model of cooler she wanted.
She freaked out. Wow.
My God.
Hey, people go into hysterics, man. It's the holidays.
Mass hysteria.
Well, this one here says, in this house, the only Black Friday event we celebrate is Sirius's escape from Azkaban.
That's a good one. I like that. I would do that. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Just trampled a family of six to get a 50% off coupon for something I don't need.
Do liquor stores have Black Friday sales? Because they should.
Yes, they should. Okay.
Now there's a concept.
Yeah. Everybody lined up at the liquor stores at 4 in the morning. That would be awesome.
I want that Black Friday deal on Captain Morgan.
Okay, Black Friday sale. My house, you, me, all clothes will be 100% off.
I like that one.
There we go.
It's Black Friday to many of you. To me, it's unsubscribe from this email list I never knew that I was on for Friday.
Yeah. All of a sudden, all these things happen. Bing, your emails increase by 10 or something. Yeah. On my way to the mall to get the best parking space, I'm going to sit in my car with the reverse lights on for a few hours.
Well, can't make it to the store on Black Friday, so I'm thinking of going to the Best Buy tomorrow to shove someone for no reason at all.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, that'd be kind of, you don't really want to shop. It's just like,
just like, get out of the way.
You like mosh pits, so you go out on Black Friday and just start bouncing off people. Okay, oh boy, here we go.
Oh, there was a picture of this one is what it is. Yeah.
Ivanka Trump sweater, which, by the way, is made in China, $64 down to $39.99. Special Black Friday, $1. I knew Ivanka Trump was cheap, but wow.
And there you go. There's some Black Friday and Thanksgiving tweets. Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are. Well, of course, we all know Thanksgiving is coming up around the corner. Are you guys ready for it? Or
yes,
kind of.
My girlfriend.
Boy, that sounded really enthusiastic.
No, I mean, yeah. My girlfriend was up making decorations for. She was like printing off all this artwork go on the table, and I was like, babe, people are going to spill food on this beautiful
like paper
stuff you're making, because she does these ornate paper cutouts like this.
Cool.
They're insane. That's like she awesome. Sells them for hundreds of dollars.
Oh wow!
At Arches, I'm like
she uses like the thick paper and like
good paper, and then she'll use like her Cricut machine and all these different programs on her computer.
So cool.
And I'm like, maybe those shouldn't be on the where everybody's eating.
Yeah,
they get gravy on them.
I'm ready.
You are ready.
Is that Cricut machine?
I have news.
Oh shit!
I have Thanksgiving news.
Yay. Oh,
dun, dun,
yeah,
dun.
You know, I was kind of not sure about
coming over
to your house. Well, it's all been settled.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be raining like crazy over Thanksgiving.
Is it
so,
really?
Oh, yeah. No. So my friends Neil and Debbie, whose house I was going to babysit the cats, are not going because they go camping at the beach on Thanksgiving.
Right.
But it's going to be raining.
Okay.
Crazy storms coming in.
Oh,
so
no,
they're
that's...
not going. So I am now like going to be here at home and waiting for you to pick me up.
I have to pick you up?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or you can take a $200 Uber.
Yep.
Dream
Pizza.
Wait, I did not know that it was going
to
rain.
We'll
work it out.
I know. Yeah, I'm literally on weather.com right now.
That's a problem because I am spending half of my Thanksgiving with my grandparents in Lake Forest where I live. They're just doing it kind of low key, but the other half in Big Bear. However, if I'm spending the first half with my grandparents, I would probably leave around 1. Takes 2 hours to get up there, but I would assume that a storm would probably take place around that time. And
it's going up a hill at night. You're gonna need the chains. Yeah.
If it's snowing in the daytime, though, do you think I'll be able to make it up with before snow?
Well, it could be if it's already snowed on and then it kind of melts and then it solidifies and that nice little.
So scary.
I would be careful.
I got to be really slow.
It's gonna rain Tuesday night, all day Wednesday.
On my birthday?
And then Thursday and thunder showers and and Friday? Oh my gosh.
I've never had a rainy birthday before.
It's going to be actual holiday.
This is weird. Yeah, we've never had this ever in California. That's weird.
Cool. Be careful.
I will.
Please.
I will.
Please. Anyway, so Thanksgiving. So it seems like we're all kind of ready and everything. But what are your guys' favorite side dishes, though?
Well, I like to make... Well, I guess it's not really a side... I guess it's a side dish. It's like a main dish, kind of. Oh, hello. Green bean casserole. Like the old school kind. Like with like the onion crunchies and Velveeta cheese. My aunt / mom...
Velveeta cheese?
Yeah, so what I do is I take the French cut green beans, and then I take... So those are in the cans. You know, drain them, clean them, put them in the casserole dish. Then I put the cream of mushroom. So if you have 4 cans of green beans, you use 2 cans of mushrooms, or, you know, just... Do that math.
2-to-1 ratio.
So not golden mushroom, but cream of mushroom.
Cream of mushroom.
Okay.
Then you mix that all together in a dish. Then you cut up some Velveeta cheese chunks and you put it in there. You add some like seasoning, garlic salt, whatever. And then you add the, French's onion crispies on top, the cheddar cheese ones. You put them on top. And then And then you put some more Velveeta cheese on top.
Oh my God.
Then you put it and you bake it in the oven for about 45 minutes on 350. And then you serve it with mashed potatoes, which are like, I make like this like ranch style mashed potatoes, like the really like creamy.
So instead
and
of going
mix
up
it together.
So instead of going up to Big Bear, you want to just pop over to my mom's
There's
house?
There's like a million calories
everywhere
in these
now. No, maybe. We'll see.
Because you ain't going to make it up the mountain, I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what about you? Favorite side dishes?
I like candied yams.
I make those too.
Yeah, you put marshmallows brown sugar.
Oh yeah, I do it all.
Oh my God, I love that.
Can I say my favorite dish?
Yes, please do.
My favorite dish is gravy. Because it makes everything else better. You put it on top of there and it makes everything better. Gravy.
Yes,
gravy. So I have to have, yeah, my mom is like the
gravy. Do you
gravy.
Make it homemade?
I can't make it.
Okay.
My mom makes the best gravy, and so I'm trying, my girlfriend and her mom make amazing gravy, so I'm really stoked.
I've tried, you make it with flour, or like, at least that's the way I've,
oh yeah.
It's so interesting, but you can mess it up and burn it if but you don't.
Gravy makes so everything good. Better. Oh, I don't care what you're
having. I like chicken gravy, because I don't eat beef, so I make sure it has to be chicken gravy.
Oh yeah, chicken gravy, white sausage gravy on the biscuits.
Ooh, that sounds yummy.
Yum, 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 yum. Biscuits and gravy.
Yes.
Turkey and gravy, stuffing and gravy.
Just gravy?
Rice and gravy.
Anything with gravy?
Etouffee.
What's some gravy?
Etouffee is have you been to New Orleans before?
When I was like
I grew up in the South. So
okay.
Etouffee is it's a brown gravy with crawfish.
Oh, interesting.
And it's really
I don't eat
good.
Seafood, so I probably wouldn't try it. Well, I might try it once.
Put it over rice. Oh, gosh. I miss New Orleans. I miss the food.
I want to go. I watched the show, The Originals, and they have, like, you know, in downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
the quarter.
Speaking of side dishes.
Yeah. Tell us.
So the 12 most, what do you guys think the most 12 most popular Thanksgiving side dishes rank at?
I think we've covered two of them so far.
Definitely which ones? Mashed potatoes and gravy.
The green bean casserole for sure. Yeah. And then the sweet potatoes. You have to have mashed potatoes.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't, I think you can't. The Pilgrims definitely had mashed potatoes.
Is there like three?
With the cranberries?
With a side of genocide.
Now, Steve said his favorite, which is the canny yams.
Canny yams. Okay.
That ranked number 10.
Oh. Okay.
All
number
right.
one's
Have
turkey.
We said any of ours?
Number one is mashed potatoes.
Oh, mashed potatoes!
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What else do you guys think? That
string bean casserole.
No, wish it was there.
Cranberries?
But you're close to it because it's not a string bean.
Three bean.
The regular green bean.
Oh, so
green.
That's what we
eat. Green bean.
Not the French cut because hers is the French cut, though.
Regular green bean.
There's a different, regular green bean.
Oh.
Okay, what else?
Oh, gosh. Cranberries for sure.
Yeah, that's what I,
Stuffing. Stuffing.
Yes, stuffing.
Stuffing's number two.
Stuffing.
Cranberries is...
I feel like salad would be on there.
Number five. No salad.
No salad.
No salad.
Oh, no, rolls. This is Thanksgiving. Like buns, it's rolls. It's all...
Yeah,
everything's
right.
all
right.
cooked and brown. And
like
Hawaiian
salad.
Hawaiian buns? Or like just rolls?
Rolls. Rolls, yeah. Rolls is number four.
Okay, rolls. Do we have gravy on that list?
No.
Oh, pie. Oh. Pumpkin pie.
Mm-mm.
No pie?
That's not a side. That's a dessert.
It's not a side dish.
Okay,
that's a dessert.
Okay, you're right.
How about ham?
Okay,
no, it's an entree dingus.
Corn? Is there corn anywhere on there?
Corn should be on there.
That's
corn is number 12.
That's with a side of pilgrim
pumpkin.
Side.
Like, do people eat just pumpkin? Like,
No. Okay. No pumpkin pie.
Yeah, so I was okay. How many more do we have?
Quite a few.
20, right?
No, 2010? Only 12.
Oh, 12 more. Okay. So wait, we have mashed potatoes. We have turkey.
Oh, deviled eggs.
No.
Eggs?
I always make. I make
okay. For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like an appetizer. Like you eat it like way before. Okay.
Oh, come on, Zach.
Wow, that hurt
early.
My feelings.
That was a wrong answer.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, we got corn is number 12. Number 11 is glazed carrots.
That's right.
Number 10 is candied yams.
Okay.
Number 9, cream spinach.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Number 8 is the ones I hate the most, Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts.
I was just going to say before you said that, is Brussels sprouts on there?
It is. Okay.
Cruciferous.
Number 7 is sweet potato casserole.
Okay,
I want to try making that.
6 is the green bean casserole, not the French cut, but just regular green bean. 5 is cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
4 is rolls.
Okay.
3, macaroni and cheese.
What?
I've never seen macaroni and cheese at a Thanksgiving celebration.
No, if there's like a bunch of little kids there, you have to have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
If there's a bunch of kids at the kids' table, there's always mac and cheese.
So,
I get that.
Okay.
Number 2 is, of course, stuffing. Everybody makes it differently, whatever. But the number 1 side dish, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's a given.
There you go.
I'm surprised that turkey and stuffing and gravy aren't like number 1, 2, and 3.
Well, I guess turkey's a main dish, not a side dish, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, if turkey's the main dish,
so
then ham would be a side dish.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that's true. You're right.
All righty, guys. Well, you know what? We got some tweets that we want to give out for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. All righty.
No, wait. Oh, no. Hang on. Give me a second.
Ah. Oh, I messed up. Okay.
All right.
So for our first tweet, we have someone tweeting, "For those of you who cannot be with family this Thanksgiving, please resist the urge to brag."
Resist the urge to brag?
Yeah, so, I mean, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess some people really don't like having to see their family during the holidays.
Oh,
like, you know, you get to stay home. No! Why are you bragging? You next.
I apologize for laughing there, but Amber and Zach are leaving to do the Girl About Town, and she left her headphones on and tried to walk out of the room. She almost fell over on her back.
I didn't even notice. I was reading.
That was great. Okay. It wouldn't be awesome. Thanksgiving without a little emotional scarring.
Thanksgiving is bringing out the best of the family dysfunction since 1863. Kind of like now.
Kind of like now.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is a time to count your blessings one by one as each relative goes home. Yes.
Well, I said this, but it doesn't make sense. If you think about a Thanksgiving dinner, it's really like making a large chicken.
Turkeys and chickens are not the same thing.
They're just a bigger bird.
I mean, well, yeah, but I feel like they have to have some differences. Yeah. Like if you really biologically look down. Well,
is chickens too small?
Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they only see once a year, and then discover once a year is way too often.
True. If you stand in the meat section at the grocery store long enough, you start to get mad at the turkeys. There's turkey ham, turkey bologna, turkey pastrami. Someone needs to tell the turkey, man, just be yourself.
Now, Thanksgiving is America's national chow down feast, the one occasion each year when gluttony becomes a patriotic duty.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Canada, so Thanksgiving to me is just Thursday with more food.
Yeah, makes sense. The Thanksteeny, a fun and delicious new novelty drink. Brie Calvert invented. No, I didn't. It's cranberry juice, potato vodka. What's potato vodka? And a bouillon cube. So that those are like the chicken flavor.
Yeah, or beef. Yeah.
It tastes just like a turkey dinner.
Or spam flavor.
Yum. Ew. That sounds nasty.
She was so proud of that first moment when she first started to read.
I was like, I created it. No, I didn't. Never mind.
Never mind.
Coexistence. What the farmer does with the turkey until Thanksgiving.
Very true.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Very true on that one. Well, I come from a family where gravy is considered a beverage.
Okay. That's Amber, obviously.
I have a gravy on everything.
My sister, Olivia.
And salt.
No, guys. My sister, salt. She puts A1 sauce. Steak sauce. It has to be A1. My grandma goes to the store and buys 3 bottles of A1 sauce a week. Oh, wait, she puts it on her strawberries, on her cheese, on her noodles, everything. The amount of sodium in that,
I just put it in anything.
But she won't use regular steak sauce. Like, she won't use any other. It has to be A1, and it's on everything.
Yeah. It's A1.
A1's good.
A1.
And there you go. Those are our Thanksgiving sweets. All right. Well, you know what?
Right.
Anyway, so we have something we wanted to give to you guys, basically. So let's see. How can we start this off here? Where the heck is it?
You're not used to being produced.
No. Here we go. All right.
Whoa. Breaking news.
Man bites dog. Film at 11.
Oh, me. Hello. Hello and welcome. I'm sorry.
You
said man bites dog and I started seeing it. Okay. Hello and welcome to an episode of Historical Inaccuracies, the show that takes a look at historical events which have been falsely documented down through the years. Today's episode, the very first Thanksgiving.
The first Thanksgiving dinner took place in 1621. However, it did not take place outside with a long table. It took place inside a large casino, which the Indians had just finished building in October.
Contrary to what most scholars believe, the pilgrims did not come to America to escape religious persecution. Instead, they came here to gamble.
Chief Running Bear, We're honored that you have invited us here to share Thanksgiving dinner with your tribe. Now, having said that, would you please put $10 down on black for me? Thank you so much. Now, where was that drink, girl? I ordered my Corona an hour ago.
Yes, it was actually gambling that brought the Indian and the white man together. You see, Las Vegas was much too far for them to travel, too. Plus, Atlantic City did not have any affordable vacation packages. So spending Thanksgiving inside their first casino was the perfect solution.
Prior to the meal, a blessing was needed to be given by the eldest member of the tribe, Kanaka Toto, which in his native tongue means Texas Hold'em.
So when it was time to give the blessing, he asked everyone to join hands. As he closed his eyes and bowed his head, he said,
"Nine a winner, pay the front line, take the don'ts. He's coming out again for a new point. Four fours to point, mark four. Who wants the hard four? Five wants four. Ace, deuce, scraps wants four. Four, and he made it the hard way. Pay the front line, take the hard. We have a shooter and a good one coming out for a new point. Get your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point as nine, place nine. Eight shooting for nine. Five shooting for nine. Who wants to come? Nine a winner. He's got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Six to point. Place six."
Unlike what the history books tell you, the pilgrims and Indians did not feast on corn, squash, or even turkey. No, they mainly lived on Texas toast, shrimp cocktails, and an awesome, delicious steak and eggs breakfast, which was only $3.99 before 10 a.m.
Oh, that sounds good. As the first Thanksgiving came to a close, and despite an awesome game of craps by Captain Miles Standish, the pilgrims ended up losing their shirts to the new Indian friends who didn't even wear shirts.
Yes, the pilgrims learned many important things from the Indians, such as how to plant corn, how to use fish for fertilizer, and when to double down. However, it was not until they played casino games like Wheel of Wampum and Let It Scalp that they realized the true spirit of Thanksgiving.
Yes, that is true. Now that's all the time we have today to make words. Be sure to tune in next week on Historical Inaccuracies when we show you the true meaning of Christmas with a special celebrity guest, Steve Martin.
Nine a winner. Pay the front line, take the don'ts. He's coming out again for a new point. Four fours to point, mark four. Who wants the hard four?
I enjoyed actually too myself to go out and play that way. Well, today's guest was first introduced to us on the Mark and Brian program about 20 years ago. And since then, he's charmed all of us here in Southern California with not only his warm voice, but also with his acting skills. And we've seen him on One Tree Hill. He's played Elvis in opposite of Joaquin Phoenix in Walk the Line. And you'll also get to see him in the upcoming film, A Christmas Wish on Lifetime. Please welcome to our show, the talented Mr. Tyler Hilton. How are you, Tyler?
What up, guys? How you doing?
Good, hey. Brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm a little bit tired, to be honest.
And where are you calling out today, Tyler?
I only got one niece. She's a year and a half. And, oh, my God. For you parents out there, I've got new respect for you. The night with a year and a half-year-old, I was like, I'm more exhausted than when I've been on the road for like 2 months.
It's a completely different lifestyle, huh?
Yeah, it's like a whole different thing. But anyway, we had a blast. But I was excited to call you guys today and say hey.
Oh, cool. You know, thank you so much for doing it. I caught your interview with Mark about 2-3 weeks ago and everything. And I just wanted to say, what a great interview that was.
Dude, it was so great. I mean, it was such a cool vibe for me, too. My dad called afterwards and was like, dude, that was such a great interview. I actually didn't know a lot of those stories. And I thought, that's funny. I told Mark afterwards, too. I was like, dude, I literally forgot we were on air because we hadn't caught up in so long. I felt like we were just talking. And his studio was set up at his house.
Right.
So we're just sitting there catching up for the first time. He told me, too. He was like, when I first saw him before we got on the air, he was like, look, I'm a big fan of Save It for the Air. So don't tell me anything that you're going to tell me on the air. Let's just keep it fresh. So when we were talking, we were just catching up for the first time. It was great. But I had such a blast.
Yeah, and the songs you played, man, they sounded great. I'm loving it. And obviously, I follow your career ever since I've heard you, since you were, you know, 15, 16 years old on with Mark and Brian. And I got to tell you, too, you and I have actually crossed paths a couple of times. Basically,
no way.
Yeah. There was one time right after you were on Mark and Brian, my wife and I went down to go see you in Hermosa Beach when you performed at a Barnes & Noble one time.
Oh, my God.
and then back in 2004, we caught up with you again at the NAMM show. You were performing at the Sennheiser booth. And so caught up with you there. So yeah, and so, you know, it's just nice to see your career just kind of, you know, take off the way it did. And I know we don't have too much time with you, so let me ask you this, Tyler. How does a young boy from Palm Springs fall in love with Elvis and start playing the blues?
You know, I don't know what it was about the blues that got me so amped. I know my parents on one of their, you know, my mom was a teacher, so in the summers we kind of took off and just went on road trips around the country because it was a cheap way to kind of have a summer vacation. And she was great about stopping at all these cool places. And one of the places we stopped was Graceland.
Uh-huh.
And, my sister went also, and she walked away from there being like, cool, it was just another museum. I don't really care. But I was totally struck by Elvis, by his image, by the music that I heard there. And I was young enough to not care about what was cool or what wasn't. You know, obviously Elvis wasn't cool with my age group. So I don't know what, like, got me so into him. But through Elvis, you know, if you get into someone like Elvis, you're going to get into, like, a whole breadth of American music. You got country music. You got gospel. You got early blues, you know, like in the 50s and the kind of stuff they were doing at Sun Records before Elvis came around.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got rock and roll. You got all this stuff. So I just kind of would find things like the song That's All Right Mama or Midnight Train or these kind of songs, and I'd just love them, and then kind of end up hearing about blues guys that recorded them, and then, you know, would listen to the original blues guys. And I just, there's something in me that always felt like I just identified with old black blues men from the 30s and 40s. I don't know what it was. It was just like that music, like, killed me when I was a kid. It just was totally connected with me on a whole different level. So I don't know. I feel like everybody is exposed to blues at some point. Uh-huh. Everyone's exposed to everything at some point, but it depends on what you've kind of got a natural bent towards that'll kind of hook you in. And I just got hooked in, and I couldn't let it go. And that's how I ended up on Mark and Brian and everything. Cause you know, anyone who's playing the blues, especially if they were my age, I got obsessed with, like Johnny Lang.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It was just something about it that really got me.
I think the thing that always amazed me with you is that here you were at that time period, we're talking 20 years ago, that you were 15, 16 years old, but you had a voice that sounded in his 20s. You know, a voice that...
Oh, did I? Wow, that's crazy.
You know, and to me, you know, when I was listening to you with Mark, you said, wow, my voice has changed a little bit. And yeah, there's been some maturity there, but I mean, the stylistic has pretty much remained the same over the years, I think. And that's one thing I've always liked about you yourself was just the way your voice sounded. It has this airy rasp at the same token. You're combining two different things into one, which I always really enjoyed.
Man, I really appreciate that. I don't really have, like, control over it. And I'm also, like, kind of, it's hard for me to be objective because it's just the voice coming out of me all the time. But, yeah, when I heard that Mark and Brian thing, I was, like, shocked at how different I sounded. And so it's cool to hear from you that you've kind of heard me being consistent the whole time. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what genre it is. It's funny. It's like Mark was asking me too off the air, like, what do people say you are, like country or pop or blues or rock or what is it? I don't know. It's one of those questions I can never figure out.
You're just a good songwriter overall. And I think, you know, and Mark says this, and I've always said it myself too, being a musician as well, is that once a song, if a song is good on an acoustic guitar and it holds and people can connect with it, it's a good song. It doesn't make a difference what genre it is. It's a good song.
Yeah.
And you've proven that with your albums through the years of just being a good songwriter overall, you know.
Oh, man.
And speaking of new albums right now, your latest album here, City on Fire, it seems to be a little bit of a departure from your normally what you've done. Was this a growth album for you, and did you do something a little bit different?
I wasn't trying to. I mean, I guess if there was anything that was different between the last record and this one is I feel a little more unbridled, I guess. You know, like, this record was probably the first record I made where I didn't go in to make a record. I was just, you know, writing songs when I had time and recording them in the studio with my buddy Jocko and my other buddy Charles Kelly from Lady Antebellum. We were kind of just doing songs as we had time. I had no plan for a record because I'm independent. I was filming a couple TV shows and I was just kind of focused on the acting thing. But I tell you what, I keep learning something in life, and I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, and maybe it's just me, but it feels like when I'm not paying attention to something, it's the same way when I was single when I was young. Uh-huh. It's like if I acted like I didn't like a girl, she was like all into it. And it's the same thing with like opportunities in life. I like when I'm not paying attention, some of my best work happens. And that's why I kind of like going back and forth between acting and music. I'll be on, because I think this is one of my best records, and I wrote it while I was paying attention to all this acting stuff I was doing. Mm-hmm. Other records, I've gone into the studio and been like, okay, now it's time to record a record, you know? And right. It just sounds so tried. And there's something about, I don't know, like having a indifference to a project you're working on that I think brings a cockiness to it that you can't really fake, you know? And that sometimes true indifference, like, create some of the best stuff. And that's what this record was. I was literally writing the songs while I was focused on something else. And that is true, I think, subconscious. That's wow. When I think you get the most real songs, you get the most, all this stuff when you're not sitting there going, hey, what do I want people to know that I'm thinking right now? No, it's just like I'm writing songs because that's part of like my therapeutic process. Mm-hmm. And one day I wake up and I'm like, holy shit. Can we say shit?
Where's oh, yeah, podcast, absolutely.
Right? I was like, holy shit, I've got a record here. So in that way, it was the purest record I've ever made for that reason. But so I don't know. So maybe that was the unbridled part of it. Is I was just making stuff up. I was pitching songs to TV shows. I was pitching songs to avenues that had nothing to do with the radio. And the sky was the limit. I had no genre constraints. I had no band constraints. Just anything I wanted to do, I was kind of doing. So I was just having some fun on it.
So this is, you said this is like your first independent release then, or?
No, it's probably my third, and I started my own label like maybe 8 years ago, and so I just put all my records out through that. But the cool thing about it is since it was an independent release, I had no timetable, and I could just kind of cut out a record if I want to, and, you know.
So so then how was that freedom then to, because you were signed originally, I think, to Warner Brothers. So how was that freedom compared to where I'm sure Warner Brothers said, hey, look, we love you, we like you, we heard you on Mark and Brian. But at the same token, hey, maybe you need to play this kind of music versus this kind. I'm sure there was some kind of constraints. Was there a little bit of relief leaving Warner Brothers to do your own label?
There were so many constraints at Warner. It was crazy. It was actually a really tough period of my life artistically because I was signed to them for almost 10 years, and I released one record.
Oh, my God.
And in that time, I got signed to them when I was probably 18 or 19. And I left them at probably 28 or so. And in that time, I'd recorded maybe four records that just didn't come out. And it was just, it was so tough for me because I didn't realize this at the time. And, you know, I still probably would have done it over again if I had the choice because, you know, that's such a big opportunity and, you know, whatever. But I you know, if they don't release one of your records or your songs, you can't release them otherwise. So you have no choice but to only be able to release songs that they approve, you know? So like you guys in the studio or my fans or anyone, you can only hear a song that I wrote publicly if they allow it. So I was writing like hundreds of songs, but because they didn't, you know, follow a certain genre that was worth it for them to put all their marketing dollars behind, like a real straight ahead pop album or a real straight ahead country record, they were kind of like, look, man, like keep writing. You know, we're not really in the business of releasing these like kind of independent in between genre kind of records and just kind of grassroots in it. So I just had my hands tied for a long time and I kept trying to give them the hits they wanted. And I felt like it felt fake to me. And I don't think people believed it from me. And the songs that I loved that I really felt that my fans liked, they didn't want to put the money behind. So it just came to a head at one point. Everybody at the label kept getting fired, and I was working with a new team, it felt like, every year. Finally, they fired the president that had, you know, stopped me and hired a new president. It was like my third president I'd worked for under Warner, and I was like, look, if you guys are looking for artists to drop, just drop me. Like, I'm in my late 20s. I've been trying to do this with you guys for a decade. Yeah. Let me just put out my own music and at least put out something new so I can get on the road. Right. Or else, you know, this whole thing's going to get killed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's tough. Those are the pluses and minuses of being on a major label like that. So, but like you said, mm-hmm. now you're on the independent. You know, you can do what you want. I know Debbie Gibson years ago did the same thing where, you know, she has her own record label, you know, and she can do what she wants and put out when she wants it also and have no artistic constraint at all whatsoever. So, which is good, which is definitely good. On this album, though, Tyler.
It is, and it forces you to ask yourself, like, I didn't realize how important putting out my own music was until push came to shove. I know a lot of people that have been in that situation and they thought, you know what, I can rise to the occasion, I can write better pop songs, I can relook at the way I look at myself as an artist, and I can have some real success. And I've seen a bunch of people just that I came up with just totally take off because they were able to do that. With me, there was just something about the songs that I was singing that I just didn't want to stop singing. And I come from a family of songwriters, and you know, I you know, probably could be driving a, you know, big old bulletproof Tesla or something if I could get my shit together. But I, you know, it was just like, this was like, I just really wanted to double down on this music and I really wanted to make it happen. So it was interesting that was kind of so important to me. I didn't realize it until that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this new album that you got, City on Fire, you have a new single called When the Night Moves. How did that song come to be?
Actually, I've been touring with this girl, Kate Vogel, a couple of years leading up to making the record. And we were just clicking together musically. We've been friends forever. We're on One Tree Hill together. But we were spending every day on the road together and just really getting along, and the music was singing tight. So I wanted to bring her in the studio and do some songs with her. And we wrote that one day. It just kind of felt like the kind of song we didn't have live that we wanted live, something that really summed up our kind of like live show together, which is like really trying to move the audience and you know, just all get really close together and kind of sing. So that's how that came about. And then just yesterday, I can't even believe I'm remembering this because I'm awful at this stuff. I just released another single. It's a Christmas song called Drunk on Christmas. It just came out yesterday.
I saw that on Facebook. Yeah.
It's a fun little, actually it's probably the first record or first song to come out from the new record. I've got like a batch of 10 songs that I accidentally couldn't stop writing as I was working on City on Fire. And so they're going to be the next record. And we did this Christmas song in that session with that band. It sounds great. It's all jazzy and kind of fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, Tyler, you've got three shows coming up. November 22nd, you're going to be at St. Rock in Hermosa Beach. That's also your birthday show. And I'm going to be going to that one because that's actually about 15 minutes away from where I work at. So I'm very excited to see you there.
Great. That's awesome.
And then on November 23rd, you're headed down to San Diego and be performing at La Stats West Music Venue. And then November 24th, you'll be at the, you're coming back up to Orange County and be performing at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano. All great venues. I've played at those venues myself.
Cool.
What kind of show will we see when we go to these venues? Is it going to be a full band or is it going to be a little bit more intimate?
It's going to be intimate and it's going to be a special kind of show. I love doing these in Southern California. It's going to be acoustic, just me and Kate Vogel on acoustic. And there's going to be, you know, a lot of stories. We end up talking a lot more than we probably should, but we just end up chatting so much on stage. And I think the fans dig it. We have a good time doing it. This weekend will be cool because Kate and I haven't been on the road all year. We haven't been out since last year. It's just been me out there promoting City on Fire. She moved to France for a little while and was working on her new record. And so this weekend is going to be the first time we've really got to catch up and play music together in a long time. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I feel like we got a lot of catch up on, even on stage. So it's going to be a fun vibe. Now, I will say St. Rock and the Stats are going to probably sell out. So if you guys want to grab tickets, I'd grab those sooner than later.
Okay.
But the Coach House is huge, so I think there's probably going to be room.
Yeah, and I was talking to Corey, which I think is your road manager, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk to Corey, and basically we're able to give away three pairs of tickets to see Tyler at the Coach House November 24th. But you have to answer this question. And earlier Tyler mentioned Lady Antebellum. So the question is to all of our listeners is, what does Tyler Hilton and Lady Bellum have in common? Is it A, Tyler was in one of their videos? B, they were roommates? C, they all have the same shoe size? Or D, none of the above? So don't give away the answer. Don't give away the answer, Tyler, because I know what the answer is because I heard it on Mark. But you can send all your answers, email your answers to yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. Leave your name and your phone number, and the first three people to get that answer right will get to go see Tyler at the Coach House, and which is a great venue. I love that place, and for that type of a show, it's going to be awesome.
That is one of the coolest venues in Southern California. If you guys haven't been to there, whether it's my show or whatever, you got to see one because yeah. it's a staple of a venue. It's incredible.
Now, you still live here in L.A., in the L.A. area, do you not?
Yeah.
Cool. You know, I was hoping, because when I was talking to Corey, I was hoping that we would get you to come in next week while you're on your way going down to San Diego, because you got to pass my house to get to San Diego anyway.
Yes, you know what? We were talking about that, and the reason we couldn't make it work is we've also sell these VIP packages before the show, so there's a meet and greet before the show that's for sound check, and then I'm also getting together with fans for coffee earlier in the day, and you can buy tickets for a little coffee hang we're going to do together for earlier in the afternoon. You can get tickets on my website, but that's why we couldn't do it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Real quick, talk about that, the coffee with Tyler. What is that about?
You know, the fans kind of wanted to have – they've been really digging these, like, extra experiences we're doing on the road. We try things sometimes, different merch items, and some fans dig them, some fans don't. This one, we just said, you know, in one of our big markets, it might have been Chicago or somewhere in Texas, we said, like, let's try seeing if, like, a few fans want to come and just meet for coffee earlier in the day. It'd be a really cool opportunity for me to get to talk to just six people at a time as opposed to – tons of people that come to the soundcheck meet and greet. Uh-huh. And so we just tried it and I loved it. Sometimes things can be really draining for me, especially when you're on the road, but I had such a blast, like just getting to spend 45 minutes with these fans, talking to them about what they did, them asking me questions about what I'm doing. And it was so intimate and cool. And the fans dug it too. And so we've done it in just about every city we go on tour in. And it's like one of my favorite parts of the day now, honestly.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know we're on limited time with you. It's almost time to go for you. Can we get you at some point when I know how busy you are, though, Tyler, but at some point to get you in the room with us, though?
I would love to. You know what? We'll link you up with Corey and we'll find a time that would work. But that'd be so fun.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I know you got your own guitars, but I've got a stack here that's Takaminis that are just waiting to be played. They all got new strings, and Steve's bangs his knees up against them every now and then. Mm. And but love to just sit and jam with you, and I'm so looking forward on seeing you for your birthday show and at the Coach House also.
Dude, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on, and you guys have great taste in radio because Mark and Brian are... I mean, you know, maybe you guys are a close second, but they're the best radio hosts definitely out there.
Well, you know, and that's
we'll settle for that.
Yeah, we'll definitely settle for that, you know, because we start doing this mainly because a lot of people miss the guys, and we get it, and we try to have some of the same guests that they had on and everything. And when I saw that you were going to be in town, I'm like, you know what, I got to email your management and at least get you in the room. If not, at least get you on the phone. And we did that. And next time, we got to get you in the room next time, though, Tyler.
Dude, I would love to. And that Mark's podcast has been great, too. I will say that, like, I was a fan of his for so long before I was on the show. And those guys have lived up to everything they seem like on the air. They are in real life. And, you know, Mark always came across as a real family guy and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So much of the time that's BS in Hollywood. I mean, everyone that has that outward appearance is usually the total opposite, you know? Right. I find all the people mm-hmm. that play the bad guys are the nicest, and all the people that play the good guys are the worst.
Yeah,
and, like, you know, it's just, but with Mark, it's real. Like, I sat and talked to him about family life, and, you know, I've been married for a while, and, you know, we've talked about starting a family and stuff. And he is such an amazing family dude. And his daughter is hitting me up. I got to hang with his wife, and it's just like, what a great family. He's a true inspiration to be doing what he did for that many years and be that successful and keep that together the way he has. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, he did a wonderful job with it. And, you know, he's been very gracious with us. He came on our anniversary show one year, and we did about an hour interview with him. And then when Brian found out that Mark was on, Brian came on and he did again an hour with us as well.
So, wow.
You know, both of those guys, they have blessed this show and were very proud and humbled that we are kind of continuing their tradition, which is what we wanted to do, specifically for those who missed the guys, you know, because it was a special show. 25 years in Los Angeles, you know, that's a hell of a long time, in 27 years together, and to not get their fame go to their heads. And that's one thing I noticed about you too, Tyler. You know, young boy, Palm Springs, you've done it. You've reached the certain pinnacle, certain things in your career, and you've been very blessed yourself, but yet you have remained humble as well.
I appreciate that, you guys. Thank you. And thanks for having me on to promote all the stuff. That's really cool.
Absolutely, Tyler.
Look forward to hanging on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I will be there because you're like 15 minutes from my work, so I will get there early.
Cool.
All right,
Can't
Tyler.
Can't wait. All right, well, see you guys.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself, and we'll see you on Friday.
All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show, the past moments of our Thanksgiving show. I know we had a good time. Hope you guys did, too. And don't forget, we will be back live, everybody in the room, next week, because we are starting our holiday shows. That's right. Santa Claus is coming to town, even though there's COVID, but don't worry, guys. So don't forget, in the meantime, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Very important you guys do all that and follow us. There's a lot of funny things going on, especially on our Facebook page, so we hope you guys join us for that. And as I said, next week, all of us will be back in the room, and we'll be doing our traditions for Christmas, as always, continuing on a lot of the Mark and Brian stuff, like the dropping of the Yule log, giving you guys our holiday home message, and, of course, debuting Elvis's Christmas greeting. So in the meantime, be good to each other. Stay covered, folks, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.